Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 6 through 11 together. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. We'll read this passage responsively. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and to comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if you forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you. In just a moment, we will preach the perfect word of God. Lord, unfortunately, you have nothing but imperfection to work with your preacher. God, though I be a sinner, I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to work through me. Allow it to penetrate deeply into the hearts, into the minds of your people. Teach us the truth that will protect us, carry us, and allow us to pick up the sword and keep on fighting a little longer, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. This morning, I want you to listen carefully. Every Christian in this room has an enemy. Every one of you. That enemy does not have flesh and blood like you think, though. That enemy is the devil. So, I wouldn't call him the devil. That's my husband. But every person in this room has an enemy, and your enemy is the devil. He is nasty. He is evil. He is hateful. He is ruthless. And he is destructive. I'll be honest with you, the older I get, the more I hate the stinking devil. I don't hate people, but I hate evil. I hate what evil does. I hate the devil, and I hate what the devil's doing. I hate how the devil destroys people's lives. Now, I believe partially the devil is so vicious because he's jealous. You say, what do you mean he's jealous? You have to understand something. God loves man more than he loves the devil. When the devil sinned, God created hell for the devil and his angels. When man sinned, he sent Jesus Christ to pay for our sins so we didn't have to go to hell. That means that God loves man more than he loved the devil and his angels. And I think that ticks off the devil. I'll just be honest with you. The devil realizes that one of the fastest ways and the harshest ways to get back at someone is to attack their children. I can put up with a lot of attack, trust me. But you attack one of my kids and it's a different battle. It's just the way it is. Now, by the way, nobody's attacking my children, so don't worry about it. But you mamas know what I'm talking about. You know, the Bible says, let a man face such a thing, rather meet a bear robbed of her whelps than cross a woman the wrong way. You say, what's that? You take a she-bear and take her cub and abuse it. And God says, you got a better chance with that than you do messing with the wrong kind of woman. You say, why? Because mamas are real protective of their babies, amen? You just have to understand, when somebody attacks your children, your first reaction is, ugh. By the way, it doesn't matter if they live in your house or if they're adult kids, your first reaction is defend. Defend. One of the hardest things to do as a parent is when you have adult children, not to treat them like little kids. It is. Because your natural instinct is, I got to defend them. Well, at 24, 25, 26 years old, you got to quit defending sometime. Let them defend themselves. Now, I'm not saying you should not have that reaction in your brain, but it doesn't always have to come out that way. Now, listen very carefully. Because you are a child of God, listen to this statement, you become a prime target for the devil. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have become a child of God. And because you have become a child of God, you become a prime target for the devil, not because he hates you, but because he hates God. The devil doesn't care whether he destroys you or not. He's just attacking God. Now, that puts down a lot of this hocus pocus gospel garbage that's out in the world today. Oh, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. They don't read the Bible. If God, who is perfect, Jesus Christ, ran for his life for years and they eventually put him on a cross and crucified him, how well did that go for him with no problems? The very basis of their gospel is wrong. Now listen very carefully. I'm going to make a statement here. I think that oftentimes we children of God often blame God too much for what happens. We blame God too much for what happens. I counsel a lot of people, not just here, but from around the country. I talked with someone recently, and they said, had a big mess up, and for a long time, I've been blaming God for the situation. Why did God allow thus and so to happen? And I said to them, God did not allow it. God wasn't allowed to have his way. Man stepped in and messed it up. I said, you need to quit blaming God. I said, you're bitter at the wrong person. Get bitter at the devil, not bitter at God. Because God did not want that particular situation to happen. They said, didn't look at it that way. I said, exactly, and that's why you got sideswiped by the devil and didn't even know it. I said, the devil's been successful in your life for X period of time because of that. Well, God didn't stop it, so it must have been okay. I realize God's big enough, but God doesn't work that way. God doesn't work that way. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
I was on my way back from Ohio, and we came through Wheeling, and I saw this sign from God, Cabela's. Amen, Brother Jerry? I did. Man, that was perfect. We didn't even rehearse that one. I told the girls, I said, we're going to stop at Cabela's on the way back through. And I didn't stop on my way over, but I did say on the way back through, if we have time and the weather's okay, I'm going to stop. Say, why? Because I was going to try to buy some bullets for my hunting rifles. So we got there, and I found plenty of OT-6 shells. Man, I could have bought hundreds of boxes of those. I couldn't find any 243 shells. None. I looked again. Kept seeing 270, 7mm, no 243. I thought, I could go buy a new gun to match what ammo they do have. But that's not what I needed to do. I didn't tell my wife that. Can I tell you something? I walked out with several boxes of 30-06 shells and no 243. Matter of fact, I even went and asked the guy, do you have any? He said, sir, that stuff barely hits the shelf before it's gone. He said, I'm not sure what it is about 243, but we cannot keep it in stock. I said, man, you got 223, 270, 25-06, all that, 7mm, but I can't. I said, I need, he said, I don't have it. He said, if I had a box, he said, that stuff's like it's gold. I said, all right. So I bought a few boxes of the .06 and walked out. Now, I wanted to go buy a gun that I could get ammo for. But I didn't. By the way, I didn't look around the store. You can ask my wife, my daughter. I went into the ammo section, turned around, and walked out. Say why? Because I didn't want to be tempted. Now, just to balance the trip out, on the way home, we picked up, I had to stop at David's Bridal in Hagerstown because my daughter's in my son's wedding this summer and her dress came in, so we had to stop and get that as well. So I balanced the trip out. Bullets and babes. I mean, bridal stuff. You know, we got balance. Amen. They suffered through Cabela's. I suffered through David's Bridal Shop. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Yeah, buddy. Today, the Bible says that lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I fear that the average Christian is ignorant of what weaponry is being fired upon them by the devil. I watch too many people blame God for bad that's allowed to happen. I watch too many people say, well, it must have been God's will. No, it wasn't God's will. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's man stopping God's will. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
Hang on. But I believe there's about four or five weapons that are formed against us that I want to tell you about today from the devil. Weapon number one, the weapon of disappointment. One of the greatest tools in the arsenal of Satan himself is the tool of disappointment. Now, the definition of disappointment is not getting what you want or what you expect. That's it. The actual definition of being disappointed means you don't get what you want or what you expected. You all know what I'm talking about. Ladies, you said I do and expected something and you're disappointed, amen? It wasn't what you expected, amen? So there was disappointment involved. Come on, ladies, I'm helping you, amen? You know, disappointment. That's when you went to the store to get ice cream and you expected more than you got. You know, I'm about bitter with Dunkin' Donuts. They've changed the size of their coffees, making me mad, amen? What used to be a large, or what used to be a medium is now a large. Thinking, man, what happened? You know, that's almost disappointing. Now, wait a minute. The weapon of disappointment. You know, I'm going to make a statement here. Sometimes we want what we want, not what God wants.
Yes, sir.
And we get disappointed.
Right.
I've watched more Christians want something that God did not want them to have. They get disgruntled, they get disappointed, and they get out of church over it. It's what you wanted, not what God wanted. Now, everybody look at me for a second here. I need your mind for a second here. There are scores and scores and scores and scores and scores and scores of different personalities in this room right now. There is one type of personality in this room to where this would apply to you more than anybody. If you are what the world would call a perfectionist, you are one of the most disappointed people in the world. Guarantee it. Nothing satisfies you. You're always disappointed in something. because it's not exactly the way you would want it. Guess what? Nothing is exactly the way God wanted it. I hate to tell you, but those of you that have the perfectionist mentality, and by the way, all of us have it, just in different areas. But may I say this, those of you that live by this perfectionist mentality, why don't you follow God's example? And quit getting mad at the rest of the world because it's not the way you want it. You know, pride creates disappointment. Because you cannot accept what others do not perform to your level. I'm not afraid to say this. Those of you that are musically inclined tend to be this way more than others. Say, how do you know? I've worked around a lot of people. I understand music. Music is exactness. You want to drive somebody that is musical nuts? Have your timing off just a little bit all the time. Have the pitch off just a little bit all the time. Drives them batty. We used to have a choir and ensemble teacher when I was in high school. Jeannie and I were talking about it while I was back home this week. And there were times in practice, she was Boyd and Bush alphabetically in the Christian school. We were side by side. Our lockers were side by side for 4 years. We were brother and sister, literally. But every once in a while, Mr. Conley. Now, Mr. Conley, God bless Mr. Conley's memory. Mr. Conley was about 5'11", weighed about 270 pounds, and he took a bath once a month, whether he needed it or not. The man was brilliant with music, but I'm not sure he could walk and carry books at the same time without falling down. Okay, he was just one of those kind of people. You all know what I'm talking about. Very musical, but not much sense. Yeah. Well, there was one thing that drove him nuts. He was always tapping while he was singing. So I'd bump her and say, let's drive him nuts today. Come on, Chris. Come on, Jeannie. All right. So we would be about a half a word behind everybody. You just watch his ears start to turn red. And then Becky and somebody else would pick up on it, and they'd be a half a word ahead while we're a half a word behind, and then his chin starts turning red. And you could just see it all flushing all the way up through, and finally he would just explode, and we're over there going, ah! It was great. It was great. Say, what was it? His perfectionism. We knew how to drive that nuts. You know, those of you that like exactness, it's amazing how many English teachers demand perfect English. But can I tell you something? There's no such thing as perfect English. There's too many exceptions for it to be perfect. it's amazing. But there are some of you, if your tools are in the wrong spot, you're ready to kill somebody. I mean, you're ready to kill somebody. Oh, happy day, the day I moved away and couldn't get blamed for where my dad's tools were. Man, you couldn't use a tool without my dad knowing you used it, and he hadn't been using it in 3 months. But he knew how it was turned on that certain spot there that you didn't have it back just in the right spot, and he'd say, what'd you use that for? How do you know I did? Because you moved my tool. I mean, he had that thing down to a science. Amen, Brother Kermit? He's been in Florida for the winter. I said, Dad, I need to borrow. He said, go down to the basement, go into my shop, such and such spot on the wall, this far over, right next to this. This is where it's at. Okay. He knew exactly where it was. I had to get something out of a toolbox. He said, you down there? Yeah. He said, go to this toolbox, open this drawer, look on this side, should be next to this other tool. And I'm looking at it as he's saying it, thinking, how in the world do you do that? Now, a toolbox for me is throw everything in there, let it bounce around in the back of the truck for 3 months, and then open it up, amen? And then get mad because one of my boys took it. Everybody's got their area of perfectionism. Can I tell you something? Romans 8:28 still in the book. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Can I tell you something? Your life isn't perfect. And to whatever degree God is using you, I am glad. You say, well, God's not using me. God can. God wants to. Well, I happen to know so-and-so. And do you know they're a sinner? No. Do you know that all of us are sinners, according to the Bible? According to the Bible. Why is it that we're, well, so-and-so's a bad sinner? I hate to tell you, one sin makes you a sinner. Doesn't matter if it was what you call a bad sin or not. Your pride's just as bad as whatever they did. Your arrogance is just as bad as what they did. And your sin causes you to deserve hell just like their sin does. But Jesus Christ came and paid for your sin. And guess what? Because you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're made perfect in his sight. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. By the way, that's Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. Verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good. Same chapter. God says, because your sin has been forgiven, there's opportunity for everything to work back together for good. Eventually. It doesn't say everything is good. It says that it'll work together and be good again. Boy, that's good stuff. You know, I get tired of people quitting churches over the fact that they're disappointed. I get tired of people quitting Sunday school because they're disappointed. I get tired of people that give up on God because they're disappointed. Can I tell you something? There's not a preacher in the world that's not a sinner. Do you know that someday there's going to be a man of God or a lady of God disappoint you? No. Yes. If I mentioned the name Moses, everybody in here would do whatever they could to be within 100 miles of where he was if he were alive today. Do you realize that he sinned so badly that he gave up his ticket to the promised land? He murdered somebody before he was a leader. If I mentioned the Apostle Paul, oh, that's the greatest Christian in the Bible. Yeah, he took a foolish Jewish vow. He created contention with Barnabas. It was he that created the contention, not Barnabas. I could take you through other things. By the way, murdered Christians. King David. Oh man, I can't wait to meet David someday. Yeah. Murdered Uriah. Committed adultery with Bathsheba. Was at times a horrible father to his children. Should I go on? I guess they could disappoint us, couldn't they?
Yes, sir.
That means somebody spiritual in your life is going to let you down someday.
Yes.
But that does not mean that you can't keep going and do what you've been taught to do that's right. This book right here does not change. Period. Period. I don't care how the world changes, that book doesn't change. That book does not change. I don't care which way modernism goes, the Bible does not change. So disappointment is the first weapon fired against us. Number two, the weapon of distraction. Oh, my soul. You know, the devil likes keeping you moving to keep you from being focused on what you're supposed to do. Tries to distract your attention. Those of you that have young children, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, You learn the art of distraction. Amen? You say, why? Sometimes you got to distract their attention to keep them from doing wrong. But if you're not careful, they'll live by distraction and never do right. Can I tell you something? Some of you need to quit being distracted in your employment, settle down in a job, and just stay with it.
Amen.
Now, I realize the economy changes and things change. I understand that. But some of you need to bring some settling peace to your family and just stay put for a while. Some of you need to settle into a house and be done.
Amen.
And if you're contemplating selling your house and buying a new one, I'm not preaching at you. I don't even know who you are, all right? But and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're getting a new house every 3 to 4 years because you just need a new one, sometimes it's better just to settle down, hunker in, and just wait her out. Amen? I'm just going to say this. Some of you just need to settle down in your church.
Amen.
Just decide, I'm locking and loading, and I'm here.
Amen.
I'm here. I have no plans on moving my membership.
Amen.
None.
Amen.
None. Say, well, what? I'm not going anywhere. I am home.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
This is my church. Not because I'm pastor. It's because this is where God wants me.
Amen.
And I'm as happy as a June bug on the last day of May. Some of you will get that by slow freight. Can I tell you what? Quit letting little things steal your attention. Christians are the finickiest people I've ever met. It's the littlest of things that cause them to get upset. Okay, look at your marriage and find out what you argue about. Very rarely is it anything important.
That's good.
Very rarely. I watch people get upset at church over what color things are. I was talking to somebody this week, and they were they had redone an auditorium, another state, and everything got redone except what they wanted redone, and they were disappointed. I thought, they put thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars into remodeling, and everything was good except one thing, and that's all you see? Can I tell you something? Paint and lights and carpet in whatever color they are, that shouldn't be what we argue over.
Amen.
And I'm here to say something. If you don't like what color it is, join the crew. Well, I wouldn't pick this for home. This isn't home. This is God's house.
Amen.
This isn't supposed to be your living room. Okay? That's some Pentecostal nonsense, non-denominational garbage down the road called the outhouse. Well, we've got our lettering almost all done around here. Well, I wouldn't have picked that style of lettering. Okay, we didn't ask you. Say, who picked it? Me. Don't like it? Come see me. Somebody's got to make the decision. And the guy that does has got enough guts to tell you who made the decision. Someone once, Brother Hiles used to say, a camel is a horse that a Baptist committee put together.
Yeah.
That's about what it would be like if everybody got their input on everything we do around here.
Yep.
Somebody's got to make decisions.
Amen.
Very few of you ask all of your children what they want for dinner and try to decide from that what you do. If you've got 3 kids, you'll have 4 answers. Say, how do you know that? I've had 3 kids. I've had more than 4 answers. Say, what is your favorite thing? Whatever my wife fixes.
Amen.
Say, seriously, what is your favorite? Whatever my wife fixes. I have no preference. I could eat the same meal every day and it not affect me. Say, why? If that's what she wants to fix, fine. It doesn't bother me. She gets frustrated at the fact that I won't tell her what I want. Can I tell you why? Because I'm not distracted. Folks, you know the weather does not distract me. Do you know I'm as wound up about what I'm preaching tonight as I was this morning? I'm not worried about rain or snow or anything else. I'm not worried about whether the sun's shining or whether there's clouds out. It does not affect my spirit. I was preaching in a Christian school on Thursday. You all appreciate this. And bless their pea-picking little hearts. There's about 35, 40 people, and they got them in a gymnasium with a PA. And it's not like they put them up in a corner. They put them right out at the center. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, this is going to be fun. Here's their song service. Let's sing 6 verses of this hymn. With teenagers. I'm thinking, oh, Lord. Then they gave some announcements. And then they sing 4 verses of another song. When the roll is called up yonder. And I'm thinking, whew. And then I got to hit the pulpit. Folks, I don't do anything slow. I don't even sleep slow. I can cram 8 hours of sleep in 3.5 hours, amen? I got up there and it was like, what hit the pulpit, man? And for about the first 7 or 8 minutes, they were just sitting there like this, almost not knowing how to respond. And I thought, they're in shock. Might as well use it to my advantage. I said, kids, listen to me. I've preached all over this country. I've preached in 31, 32 different states. I've preached in Christian schools all over this country. I tell Christian school kids all the time, and I'm talking that fast. I said, I tell them all the time, I've sat where you sit. I said, I've literally sat in the stupid chairs you're in right now. I played ball in this room right here. I said, I have really sat where you sit. I said, I promised myself 30 years ago I'd never say this, but I'm an old fart now, and I'm going to say it. And they looked at me. I said it. Go ahead. Laugh about it. And my English teacher's back there. She's going, girl I graduated with, she taps my wife on the shoulder and says, he hasn't changed a bit, has he? All of a sudden, they start laughing. 25 minutes later, when I gave the invitation, the altar was packed. Amen. Packed. I think 3 kids didn't respond out of almost 40. I'll take that. They just need a little life breathed into them. I wasn't going to get distracted by the fact that I would not have set it up that way. Was it my preference? No. I got a little more volume out of the PA guy. I said, look, my voice is a little rough. It's cold, and my voice isn't used to this cold. Can you give me a little more PA? He said, sure. I said, thanks. Yeehaw. Folks, we get distracted by the simplest of things. And please, don't get mad at me for saying this, but the average Baptist is ADD. Okay, you don't like my tie. Go get another one, I'll wear it. You know, I don't like your shirt. You go get me another one. As long as it's not pink, I'll wear it. I don't like this. You go get it, I'll wear it. I don't care. You know, it really does not matter. We get so distracted by things that do not matter. Boy, that's important. And by the way, don't let irritations or disagreements keep you from doing things for God. We allow so many little things to hurt us. Yes, sir. And I'm just going to say this. We live by on a hobby horse. I know that's not a common term, a rocking horse. Okay? We go from one thing to the next. And we go back and forth on the same topic, back and forth. Do you know that if I sat down with every person in the room, I could find something in your life that you and I disagree about. Promise you.
Yes, sir.
I could sit down in a mirror and find things I disagree with the person I'm talking to. I'll promise you. You know, there are things political that just don't need said. But that doesn't mean that things political could not be addressed. There are some things politically I'm not going to address. But there are some things I'm not going to shut up about either. This is America, and we've hidden our head in the sand so long that we now have socialism running rampant in our schools and in our country, and somebody needs to lift their voice and warn everybody.
Amen.
Very things we fought against in World War II, we're now teaching to our kids. I'm not afraid of that. Now, we're not going to be bringing political candidates into the church to speak.
Amen.
Say why? This isn't the place for it. But we ought to vote according to that book right there, the best we can. I'm as against abortion as any other kind of murder.
Amen.
But it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before we shut soul winning down and go protest at an abortion clinic.
Amen.
Best way to shut abortion clinics down is to go win everybody to Christ, get them saved, get them in church, and get them living right, and we won't have to worry about it. It's not to go protest. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
Okay, I better move on. We got so many churches that are distracted by these little hobby horse things. Number three, the weapon of deceit. I liken the word deceit to the word lying. Lying and deceit are virtually the same thing. Parents, when your children deceive you, they are lying to you.
Yes, sir.
There's no other way to say it. And by the way, the father is of all lies is the devil.
Yes, sir.
Now, we should not lie to anyone. But that does not mean we have to beat everybody over the head with the truth either. You don't have to be rude with truth.
Amen.
I'm going to touch something sensitive here. And please bear with me, parents. Those of you that have young children, death is a part of life. I don't think that it's wise for you to lie to your children about what death is. Now, if you choose to not take them to a funeral, I understand that. My kids grew up around the funeral home. When you're a preacher's kid, you're at the funeral home a lot. My kids have understood death is part of life, and I'm not going to lie to them. I got to spend a few hours with my grandmother this week. She's going to be 96 in April. That little stinker. She broke a rib last week. She's so hunched over that her bottom rib broke on her pelvis. And she broke her rib. Well, she was pushing her little walker thing through and between my chair and where her bed was. And I said, Grandma, let me move my feet. And she just kept pushing that thing over my foot. I said, Grandma, let me get my big fat feet out of the way. She said, no, I'm trying to push it over that. You stinker. She'd look at me and grin. Come on. Oh, wait a minute. She's 96 years old. We were sitting there, and she said, Craig, I don't want to talk to you about this, but I think we have to. I said, okay. I knew where she was going. My wife and daughter sitting there. She said, do you think you'd be willing to do my funeral someday? I said, I'd be honored to. I said, now, I'm not doing it very soon, I hope, but I'd be honored to. We began to talk about it for a little while, and she started unfolding some things, and I was glad about that. Now, wait a minute. Then she takes that bony little old crooked finger of hers. She says, your church is more important than me. don't you miss anything at your church for me. I said, Grandma, I'm pastor. We can work my church around you. She said, no, this is what she said. Those are good people. Those are loving people. And they need you. She said, I'll be in heaven. I won't need you that bad. She said, don't you miss anything at church. I said, we'll work church around it. Don't worry. She was more concerned about our church than her own funeral. I love that. I love that. Huh. You know, my daughter was sitting there listening to that the whole time. She said, Dad, I thought that would be harder to talk about. She said, but it really wasn't that hard, was it? I said, no. I said, it's an uncomfortable subject. I said, not one I want to think about very often, but one we have to. You know, this newfangled, quote-unquote, fundamentalism lies to people. They've changed the methods of the Bible to say this is fundamentalism. And it's not. It's not. If you have to tear somebody else down to build yourself up, that's deceit. That's deceit. You don't have to tear anybody down. You have to criticize. Just live the truth. You know, and I'm probably going to get somebody mad here, but before you open your mouth, why don't you figure out what all the facts are before you open your mouth, not just what you just heard?
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. Help us.
I wish I could teach that to an American press. We are so unjust with our opinions, it's not even funny. And we become deceitful in our opinions and lead people astray. Well, I heard it from so-and-so, so it must be true. Do you know where so-and-so got it? No, but they said it, so it's got to be true. Why don't you get all the facts together first? By the way, God commands you not to be deceived. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. And whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You better be careful. God commands you by justice to investigate before you formulate an opinion. Some of you have people found guilty in a court of law and it hasn't even gone to trial yet. Some of you believe whatever the press says as all the facts in the case. Okay. Number 4, and I'm done. So we have the weapon of disappointment, the weapon of distraction, the weapon of deceit, and lastly, everybody smile, take a deep breath. All right, here we go. The weapon of discord. The weapon of discord. Discord hurts more people in church than bad doctrine.
Yep. Yes,
sir. Discord and disharmony are virtually the same word. Is the piano work if I push it or is it not turned on? Should work. I know enough about music. Yep, there we go. This is discord. That's the way some of you sing. You say, boy, that was beautiful, wasn't it? Do you realize that that's what a lot of people create around them is discord? They're off just enough. They're close. Yeah, you play two notes side by side together, that's not a good chord. Sometimes there has to be space between them. Say why? Because that balances out the chord.
Boy, that's good. Yes, sir.
Discord is lack of blend. Now listen to this statement very carefully. Why do we listen or talk about what we have no ability to fix or authority to fix?
Yes.
That creates discord.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If Brother Gus and his wife are having troubles, because Gus won't talk right to his wife and he beats her. What good does it do for Brother Lowther to talk to Brother Barnes about it? Because Brother Lowther can't fix it.
Amen. Yes,
neither can Brother Barnes.
That's good.
So it does no good for them to even formulate an opinion. By the way, they don't even know if it's true.
Amen. That's good.
Yes, sir. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
Now, I used the ridiculous to illustrate the obvious. It was Janice that was beating up Jerry, not Kathy beating up Gus. But, wait a minute here. Why do we even listen to things that we cannot fix? I was talking to someone this week, and they started into a subject. I said, excuse me. I said, are you just going to tell me an opinion? I said, is this something that you're asking my help on, or you're just informing me? They said, oh, I was just informing you. I said, I'd rather not know. I said, if you're asking my help so that I can fix it, I would listen. But I don't think either one of us have the authority to fix where you're headed right now, so I'd rather not hear it. Say, well, what was it? I don't know. I didn't listen to it.
Amen. Thank you.
I didn't listen to it. I live my life that way. Guess what? I didn't have to waste 1 second formulating an opinion. Boy, that's good stuff.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm going to make another statement here. We're going to separate you separatists and Baptists real good now. Can I remind you that not everyone sees their standards as you see your standards?
Amen.
Standards are not all the same. Principles are.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I didn't drink alcohol. To me, drinking alcohol is stupid. Why in the world you want to pour something down your throat and barf later does not make sense to me. I honestly don't. And by the way, I've smelled enough, been around the smell of that stuff. I don't know how you can even pour it down. Why do you want to drink some rotten mash? Stuff like that, you take paint off. Makes you stupid. Now, wait a minute. Though I know people in here, I'm going to use Brother Hawkins. Brother Hawkins had troubles with it for a while. He gave it up finally last week. No, I... yeah, yesterday. Forgot he fell off the wagon again. Now, wait a minute. Do you know that there could be places and things I could do and it would not bother me because alcohol has no draw on me that would be a hindrance to him? Say, well, I'd never go into that restaurant. They serve alcohol. Okay, where did you get your gasoline and where did you get your groceries? There was a day when that principle could hold true. It's few and far between now. I'm not for going to eat in a bar, just so you know. I think you're unwise. I've been in 4 bars in my life, and I preached in all 4 of them. Just so you know, I never got anything, including a drink of water, while I was there. Say why? I didn't trust anybody or anything. I wouldn't sit down. Never sat down in a bar, not one time. Say why? That's just not why I was there. I was there to preach. Say, you preached at a bar? Yeah, and I don't recommend it either. But I had to do few times that very thing. Now, wait a minute. Discord is this lack of harmony. Do you know that some of you came out of a bad rock music, bad music culture? And if you're not careful, listen to me, there's those of us, we didn't struggle with it. I could get away with a little bit faster style music because it doesn't affect me than somebody that came out of bad music. Now, I'm not for syncopation in a rock beat. I do know the difference.
Good.
And please don't take this the wrong way, but there are some styles. What's the new word? The genres. Is that the right word? Of music. You didn't think I knew big words like that, did you? I spent 4.5 years in South Carolina. There's some good Southern black music that I like. Now, not all of it. Sometimes it gets too rocky and too jazzy. I agree with you. But there are some of those songs that are good songs. They can be cleaned up and done right. Everybody doing okay? All right. That does not mean that we can't blend together for harmony, though. I may draw my line tighter than Rachel on some things. As long as it's not against the scriptures, we can work together. Now, when you cross the line of it being scriptural, we got a problem. When you're wrong on doctrine, you're wrong. Period. I'm not changing. I will not accept bad doctrine. But just because you draw the line differently, well, I think that a girl, lady's skirt ought to be 4 inches below the knee. Okay, I'm good with that. But my Bible says you're fine as long as your thigh's covered, which is from the knee up. So as long as your knee's covered, I don't care if it goes clear down to the floor. But keep your knees covered. Amen? Keep your thighs covered. That's scriptural. Now, you've got about from your knee to the floor to figure out where you're going to draw your lines. But don't criticize somebody that doesn't draw it where you draw it. That's called a standard. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Let me show you what I mean. Jesus attracted around him 12 disciples. Do you realize he had fishermen as well as a tax collector? Now, you talk about two opposite type of personalities. Then he had one that was a physician named Luke. Now, a doctor and a tax collector, I know, did not get along. And the fishermen couldn't even get along with each other. How could they get along with a doctor and a tax collector? Those were Jesus' disciples. Don't you think that Luke, the doctor, had a different approach to things than Peter, the loudmouth fisherman? Boy, that's good stuff. You know, sometimes you don't need to tell everything you know because somebody might ask you a question. You know, just because you know something doesn't mean everybody else in the world has to. There are things I know I'll never tell anybody. There are things I know that go on in my office as I counsel people. It's nobody else's business. Well, you're just trying to cover people's sins up. I don't have to. Jesus already took care of it with his blood. I'm just trying to help them with the residual process of sowing and reaping.
Amen.
You're right. It's a big cover-up. It was covered up by Jesus Christ himself.
Amen. Yes,
well, we need exposure. Quit trying to play the devil.
Amen.
You've believed the devil's lies way too long.
That's good. Yes, sir.
Well, we need to trot some people down and have them talk in front of the church and tell them what they did wrong. Show me one place in Scripture where that took place. They'll have to stand in line behind you for your pride. Everybody doing okay? I want you ready for the devil's attack. I didn't say he might. The Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He's going to use disappointment. He's going to use distraction. He's going to use deceit. And he's going to use discord. You know, he's going to try to pit you against somebody else in the church because you differ with them on something. Then don't talk about it.
Amen.
Just don't talk about it.
That's good.
It's that simple.
Amen.
I don't mean this unkindly, but I talk to preachers all the time I differ with. I talked to one this week I differ with a lot more than some. But in the process, as he asked me questions, he started seeing where he might differ with who he was associating with. And said, ooh, I better rethink some of this. Now, I'm not going to bring him here. I don't think he's a bad guy. And by the way, it wasn't where I was. I talked to another man. Can I tell you something? We don't have to tell everything we know. You know, you can differ with somebody, still get along. I'm not disappointed. I'm happy. I'm excited. I love what God is doing at Grace Baptist Church. I love what God is doing with this group of people. I just love serving God. How about you? You have an enemy if you've been saved. If you've never been saved, I hate to tell you, you say, I don't understand this attack stuff. It's because you haven't become a child of God and the devil's already got you. But I'm going to warn you, you get saved, it's not going to get necessarily easier on you. The devil will fight you. Well, I thought if I got saved, all my problems would go away. You were misled. It doesn't work that way. Matter of fact, the attack might step up a little bit. But I can promise you what the end result is. Heaven and not hell. And that's the big part. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I know 100% sure I'd go to heaven if I died. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for your honesty. Who would say, Brother Bush, and I won't embarrass you just like I did not embarrass them, but who would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like to know. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Somebody else and you. All right. Who'd say, Brother Bush, there is an attack and there's some areas of my life that sermon affected today. Maybe an area or maybe several areas, but my life needed that message today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, hands everywhere. In a moment, the music will begin to play. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. If you raised your hand and said, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, I'll have a lady here or a man who can take the Bible and show you in just a matter of moments how you can know for sure. It's not some experience. It's trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can walk out those doors today 100% confident of heaven as your home. If you need to come use this altar and pray today, you come.